Hi, Heated Rivalry fans. You're listening to Believe in Anything, a podcast where we talk all things Heated Rivalry and explore its impact through conversations with other fans and creatives. Hi, I'm Danielle.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Lee. If it's your first time listening, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. We're so happy you are here.
Today, we are speaking with Kaya, who is a host and DJ for Club 90s, which I'm sure you have all either attended or heard about. So we're really excited to speak with her. But first, we're going to go through the Heated Rivalry highlights for the week for all of us. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So my highlight of the week is Melly, the fan editor who just got hired by HBO off the back of her Heated Rivalry fan edits. I think that's so cool. I think we need more fans in that space.
Agreed.
100%. I think it's amazing.
It's so cool. And she did the Sweet Dreams edit, which I think we all know. So yeah. I think we realize how deserving she is of this job. And I can't wait to see what she does.
It's so nice because inspiring people to be more creative and make edits, fanfics, art, what have you. And then the fact that it's being seen and then potentially launching or, you know, expanding people's careers, I think is like, who would have thought?
I know. It's amazing.
I know. It's so cool. She did say this was like her dream job as well. So I'm so excited for her. If anyone doesn't know who we're talking about, her username is Bucky.
Mm-hmm. She also did the, what song is it too? But she did the one that's like basically a whole trailer for the show cut into.
Yes. That's
into
the one they saw, so I think.
Yeah,
I remember
that's
people
when
replying
they saw.
To that on Threads. Yeah, so good.
It's such a full circle moment. Okay, well, mm-hmm. I will start watching the previously on Heated Rivalry if she's the one doing it.
If she's the one doing it.
Yeah.
You don't watch it now?
I mean, I know what happened.
Yeah, I want to relive
Babe,
it.
Babe, I was
time.
There. I was on that ice.
I just like listening to them talk about previously on, you know, like Ilya and his Russian accent. I was like, this is great.
That's mm-hmm. true. And I did watch it once and I was like, oh, this kind of slaps. This is actually a really good recap.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think I didn't realize it until there's one that Rose or Sophie says. And I was like, wait a second. I didn't realize there was like a previously on like
we're usually
old CW
like,
TV shows. Yeah, because you don't have that anymore.
That's true.
Oh, not like a narrated one.
The ancient
Anyways,
text.
That's amazing.
It's so cool. I do selfishly have another highlight as well. You guys have seen them. I have pink Heated Rivalry nails. So we're going to post
They're
a picture
so
on
cool.
on our account so everyone can see them. But I love them. Shout out to my nail artist, Alice.
Yes,
sent
Alice.
She sent me the design idea, hated me a little bit for the jerseys, but it's her own fault.
No,
They're
they
so
are
cool.
They are so cool. They have, let's describe it. They have the jerseys on your thumbs.
The jerseys are on the thumbs, yeah. And then the next fingers, one is a lightning bolt because it's cute. The other one is little clouds. And then my middle fingers are hotel room keys with 1221 and 1410 on.
Adorable.
And then my little pinky fingers are hockey sticks with pry tape and then their initials.
They look so,
so
good.
Cute.
Yeah, we'll post a picture. And I now want to have that done.
I know. And I got my nails done this week. And I'm showing camera. I don't have Heated Rivalry there, but they're also like pink, cool design-ish.
Cute.
But I thought of you the whole time. I was like, man, they should
Which
be Heated Rivalry nails. But I don't know that my nail tech, like your nail
Mine
tech sent you
great.
That photo. My nail tech has probably not seen Heated Rivalry.
I mean, she's only watched one episode of the show.
Okay,
what
well,
is your highlight of the week, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, I think this week I'm just feeling very grateful and emotional about the fandom, specifically on Threads, and all of the good news coming out of it. And this has nothing to do with that, actually, but just in general, I feel like it's just been really, like, I don't know. I just am feeling really grateful. But someone on Threads who I absolutely adore and one of the highlights of each day, they are posting Kiss of the Day for Holonov. So every day they're going through kiss by kiss and like posting a clip and then also a slow-mo. And their username is Bella_the_books. And I called it the best advent calendar ever because that's what it is to me. But yeah, it's it's been such a joy.
What's your favorite one so far?
That's a great, great question.
Where are they up to?
So yesterday was day 13, and it was, I think that was day 13. Yeah, and it was the kiss on the chin during the second hookup. Yeah, and he like used his tongue.
I love that we're in there on like episode 2 and it's day 13.
I'm getting distracted because I'm looking at it. She posted the scene of them on episode 4 in on the couch, and she was like, how many kisses do you see? And people are in the comments counting, and they were like, I think it's 7, I think it's 9. And I'm like, I love it here.
Threads is so fun.
It's so fun. There's no drama. We got Cowboy Shane. Also, do we think Robbie knew what he was doing when he posted the cowboy emoji? Or do you think that was just because?
I'm going to pretend like he knew what he was doing.
Well, I guess he was on, he went on a mechanical bull, which I don't, was this at a Grammys party? Like, when did this happen? People were telling me this, and I'm like, how do we know? But
he saw Cowboy Shank trending and wanted some limelight on
him.
Let me get in on that.
But yeah, the fact that we can take scenes we've seen a million times and then slow them down and have them be new creations, so good. And then put Old Town Road behind it. But I guess that's like 3 different things. So I'll stop being greedy.
That's okay.
No, those are all connected, I think. My heated rivalry highlight of the week is this like long form video series that this creator who is at Nina King Narrative is making. Basically, she's doing these like in-depth character analyses, like scene by scene of heated rivalry. She only has 3 videos up right now, and we're only to the gym scene of episode 1. However, it's really fun. I mean, she knows what she's talking about. She's either has her PhD in creative writing or she's getting it. I don't remember, but it's just been really fun. I really like her like insights or her takes. It's also just nice to like live in it. And again, for it to be like a longer form content, I think her videos are like, actually I have it open here. I think her first one's like 14 minutes, but then her last one is like 40. So it's fun to dive into them, and it's just been a nice way to a different way to digest a show that we've seen 100 times at this point.
Oh, amazing.
I could talk about the gym scene for 40 minutes too.
Yeah. And I'm locked in for every single second that she's talking about. Her first episode was like a reading of Ilya specifically. And I thought that was just from like the intro scene where they're like smoking the cigarettes. Yeah. It's just like fun to do, again, like a narrative analysis and not just like they do this and then they do this. And then it's not a scene by scene breakdown. It's like a full delve into like, here's what informs this character probably. And here's something we could connect to that you wouldn't have thought of, and subtext. And it's just been fun. It's a really fun way to look into it.
This is on YouTube, right?
Yeah. I think I first saw her on TikTok. So she has a TikTok, but
full videos are on YouTube.
But yeah, the full videos are on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. There's one that says, How Heated Rivalry Writes Complex Trauma.
That's so good. Save for later. That's the scene in the...
I don't know if I
want to
go into that now.
That's the scene in the draft, I think, where she's like delving into Ilya's relationship with his dad in that scene and Shane's contrasting relationship with his parents. Really good. Like, genuinely really good. So I would highly recommend... Especially, like I said, if you want something like longer form instead of just short. Big fan.
I did not see that in the group chat. Sorry.
Yeah.
I did.
What scene has been stuck in your heads this week?
I finished my most recent reheat, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to... I had messaged my friend Liani about it because she had been talking about it in our other group chat. And I was like, how are you watching? Like, how do you digest these videos? Because I feel like there's like a cadence or an order for the reheat. And we had also been talking about, I had watched episode 1 because we went to trivia and I wanted to like really delve into that. And I was like, no phones, nothing. I wanted to lock in and pay attention to every single detail.
Yeah.
And then I did the same for episode 2. And I was like, I really like episode two. I forget how many like significant scenes there are in episode two. And I feel like one and two I lump together. And then three kind of exists in its own entity. And then four, five, and six feel like their own group as well. Like, I often feel like I can't, I'll maybe watch four, but then five and six, I always have to watch together. It cannot be that I just watch one without the other.
Yeah.
I'll always say that I was rewatching six and the, like, the big oneer that they do, the one shot when they come into the cottage and
that's so good.
Watching all that and, like, picking up on all the little things. That I was, like, enjoying that on this second watch. Or not second watch. I don't know what number watch at this point.
Second watch of the hour.
Second watch is funny. Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's what's been in my head. I just really enjoyed that episode.
So good.
Danielle? It's crazy how they shot that scene.
No, I love it.
The scene that's been stuck in my head this week would be the stairwell kiss scene. Just Shane's face in that scene just kills me. I love it so much.
When he closes his eyes and just the... I can't wait to see this in-depth analysis of that.
Oh my gosh.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Shane's face in that scene. He's like down bad. I love it so much.
What about yours? What scenes?
I don't know. I know I asked the question.
You asked the question.
I don't know.
What's the first thing that pops into your head right now?
Well, right now it's Cowboy Shane. So I guess I'll talk about that scene. But I mean, I also love the beginning of that scene. Like, it's very easy to talk about the second half of that scene, but I think everything it's so cute. You kind of feel like you're down the hall and I'm like, get me closer to
that it's shot
island.
so wide but you can like you're
we're
like
so
I want to be
away.
In there
we're so far away when Shane gets on the counter.
I love that too. And
did
then
he gets, does he get up there or does he get put up there?
He gets put up there.
I
love that he's also like, should we talk after? Like, and then his little,
like, later.
Okay. And yeah, I saw someone be like, I wish his shoes were off because then he could wrap around Ilya tighter. But yeah, and then like how adorable that is straight into the cut of Cowboy Shane. And I remember the first time we were like,
yes,
oh shit.
I do remember. And you're like, whoa.
We're there. Because I think that's also true. It's like you're so far and then all of a sudden you're like
right next to them.
In there. You're there with them.
Gosh. No, someone the other day was like, I'm about to like quit my life, like leave my children behind and just like go to film, like get into film because of this. And I'm like, that's so real. Me over here analyzing scenes like I'm an intro to film again. My 101 class.
The way they edit some of the scenes are like, the whole show is crazy. Like, the editing is like next level, I think.
Yeah, I really want to watch. I really want to watch that podcast with the editors. Because I'm so interested in that. And
Send me the link to that.
Yeah.
Send it in the group chat.
I think it's called Rough Cut, but I'll send it. Because I've always found editors' jobs so interesting.
Yeah.
And I've also been like, how cool to have like all of the raw footage and then be able to form
tell a story
through that.
Yeah.
And I also, speaking of that, Jacob was on I'm totally forgetting the name of the podcast, but it was, do you know what I'm talking about? It was him and Brendan on a podcast and they were talking, I think the big thing was talking about like budgeting and, finances for the production. But Jacob also mentioned the scene in episode six and editing that with like how Hudson was performing the scene.
What scene? I need details.
After
the scene in episode, what, the whole episode is the
scene. The scene after his dad catches them. And he goes back in the house.
He's freaking out.
And Jacob was saying, at first I was kind of like, oh, Hudson's doing a lot here with his choices. Like, that's, you know, it's jarring, or not jarring, but it feels different because usually, you know, Shane is so reserved. And then he said he wasn't going to, like, do anything. He was like, oh, maybe I'll cut around it. And then his editor said, no, this is incredible. And when he saw what they had done with it, he was like, oh, it's perfect. Like, it's great. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also cool, too, of just like the collaborative nature of the show. Mm-hmm. And also the choices and like trusting everyone that they know their character, they know their job, they know like their expertise, and believing in that, I think also shows how great the show is and why it works so well.
Yeah.
Because no one, it doesn't seem like literally anyone on that set had any ego, or like the bad kind of ego, which I think also makes a difference from a United States production.
Yeah. That also reminds me of something. That reminds me of something else I think came out of that podcast is, I don't know if you saw this, but Hudson wrote Yuna's name on Shane's hockey stick. So it's like Shane has written his mom's name on the hockey stick. It's at the very top of his hockey stick. You can see it in like some of the promo pictures that they used on the hockey cards.
What?
It was Hudson's idea to write Yuna's name on Shane's hockey stick.
I would love an in-depth interview with them individually going into on their choices for the characters. So I think about that. I think about the socks on in the first hookup
and
how I think it was, I guess Rachel was on set that day or.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Perhaps not. But
I think she was in the other room.
Something like that. Cause I think it was closed. And how Hudson was like, should I keep the sock on? I'm going to keep the sock on. Like, that feels right. And then that's such an important
part
of,
genius. I think,
Shane is a character. It makes so much sense. And so I'm curious. And I'm curious from Connor's side as well, how much I would love to hear them talking about that.
I need a DVD that's just 800
I need the bonus features.
Of behind the scenes of them just talking so I can just...
I want a sit-down interview with Jacob, Rachel, Hudson, and Connor. I want a three-hour featurette, like, breakdown. I want the full in-depth analysis.
Yeah, and then Jackson talking about the cinematography. And then, just bring in everyone.
Everyone. Let's have them on this podcast. No problem.
I want to. I just would be like, how so talented?
Wow. Why so I love your work.
Wouldn't even know what questions to ask. I'd just be like, hey, can you just second by second?
Speak at us. Yeah.
Speak at us. We'll just stare at you with hearts in our eyes and try to absorb some of your creativity. It's truly incredible. We were like, we're going to have a really short intro today. Psych.
We should have known.
We should have known for sure. Also, happy Hudson Williams birthday week.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Hudson.
Happy birthday, Hudson. On Hudson's birthday, Lee and I will be at round two of Club 90s.
As you should.
As we should. There's no other place we'd want to celebrate.
Right.
But speaking of, our guest today... is someone who knows Club 90s very well. So we're really excited to share our interview with Kaya.
Our guest today has what can only be described as a dream job. As a content creator, dancer, and professional fangirl, she is currently hosting and DJing Club 90s Heated Rivalry Nights across the East Coast, bringing the fandom together through music and pure joy. We're so excited to welcome Kaya.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited. Lee and I did go to the first Webster Hall date, and we have spoken about it probably in every single episode. We've only had three episodes, but we have talked about it
ever since.
So every single episode. It was like the best night ever.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah. And we're definitely going again. But so for a little background, do you mind like sharing a little bit what Club 90s is just for people who don't know?
So Club 90s, it's a fan-centered like club night party event organization. And it started, as the name like says, in Los Angeles, but it's now like taken over the States. And then it's also, we've done like events internationally in Canada and in London. It's run by Jeffrey which you guys might know is like DJ Jeffrey on like social media. Yep. He's like the head of everything and he's so amazing. But yeah, they do like Bad Bunny nights and 2000s nights and Harry nights. And it's really epic. And now they've added in these rivalry nights.
Ugh. And how did you get started with it?
So I started as a fan. Back in, I think maybe 2022 was my first time that I went. I went to a Taylor and Harry night.
Amazing.
And it was so amazing. and from there, I just like became friends with people in the Club 90 circle. And then I transitioned into doing like social media stuff. And then I transitioned into hosting. And now I got contracted as one of their DJs. So it was like a full little like journey up to where I am right now.
A professional fangirl is, yeah. I think, a dream
a full-time
job. Yeah. And a full-time job. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's your typical day-to-day, maybe on the actual night of a show?
My day-to-day, like during the week, is pretty much just working on social stuff for both. I don't personally do it for Club 90s, but I do it for like sister companies of Club 90s. So I'm working on their socials throughout the week, and I'm also working on like my personal socials. And then weekends for Club 90s can vary between like Thursday to Sunday. So I will either travel in the day before or the day of to the city that I'm DJing at, and then we typically do like a load-in, a sound check. I explore the city, you know, just like chill, try to get my mind ready for the night beforehand. And then we sound check. I have maybe like an hour while people are coming inside. And then we do the show. And then I go home and I sleep.
Yeah.
Because I need that desperately.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if it ends for most people like 1:30. So I'm sure like the adrenaline, it might be hard to like come down from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when we're in New York, sometimes my friends and I will go out afterwards. But if I'm by myself, I am in that hotel bed.
Yeah.
And I'm sleeping because typically I have a flight early in the morning. So I need my rest.
You're kind of living the rock star life. That's so fun.
Literally. That's like what I keep telling myself.
And so I know you are a heated rivalry fan, which love. I mean, that's why we have this podcast. So how were you introduced to Heated Rivalry? Like, had you read the books? Kind of what was your introduction to the series and the show?
Yeah, I was introduced to it through the show. Like, I had seen the books in, like, bookstores, just, like, being an avid reader. But I never really picked them up because sports romance is not really my thing.
Yep.
So I just was never really interested. And then I watched the show as it was airing on HBO. And became obsessed. And so then after the sixth episode aired, I read Heated Rivalry, and then I started the series like from the first book onward. So I'm currently on the third book and I'm loving it. I'm having a great time.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, we need to talk after you read The Long Game. I'm so interested in your thoughts.
Yeah. I know. Because like I know like some things that happen just like with being in the space,
right.
Like the main things, but I like don't know all the details, so I'm very excited.
That's actually kind of amazing because you're like still discovering it real time.
I know. I love.
When did Club 90s, when were they like, yeah, this needs to be its own night?
Honestly, I could not tell you. All I know is that Jeffrey texted me maybe 3 or 4 days before the event, the first event in Los Angeles, and said, hey, we need to make a bunch of edits, a bunch of visuals in 3 days. Can you do this? Can you help me? And
good
I was like,
luck.
Absolutely, I can.
My dream
literally.
Job.
Yeah. Like, I was, I kid you not, it was maybe like 12-hour days, 3 days in a row, like trying to get these done because we had to make so many.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was a very quick turnaround for me. It was the 3-day turnaround. And then it happened. And then it was so successful that they just kept adding dates and more dates and more dates. And now it's a full tour, which is so cool. But yeah.
Yeah, I read in Forbes that you all booked out like 150 dance parties over the next 2 months. And I'm sure maybe that's grown since that article.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. We have, I think, like 7 or 8 events at one given day, which is crazy.
Is there a difference for how fans show up to Heated Rivalry nights compared to maybe the other types of events you've hosted or DJed for in the past? What makes Heated Rivalry nights different?
Yeah, I think just the added element of it being based off of a show has changed how fans show up, because like with a Harry night, right? Like it's just, there's one thing we can do and it's Harry. Like
right.
That's all. And then for Heated Rivalry, there's so many different aspects of the fandom you can pull from. You can pull from the soundtrack of the show, or you can pull from songs that just so happen to feel like Ilya and Shane. So there's so much, I feel like, more variety in the music that we can play, and in especially with like the edits, the fan edits. I think that's also a big thing. Like I'm just constantly scrolling and saving things and saving edits that I think would be really cool to show. And so I think that element also is like why fans are engaging in it in a different way than other Club 90s events.
And there's so many edits on TikTok. So many.
Yeah.
I think my TikTok edit folder for just Heated Rivalry is almost at 900 at this point.
Yeah.
No, it's that serious, truly.
It is that serious. Yeah, we actually just had on Margo, who is the editor who made the Big Ol' Freak edit. And yeah. We're like, Club 90s went crazy when your edit came on. It was such a moment. It was such a moment.
No, literally. Like, when I start the show, people will hold up their phones with Google Drive on it because they're just demanding it so right away. Funny. And I'm like, guys, I know we got to wait a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's the anticipation.
Yeah, we can't give you everything all at once.
You can't start with the Google Drive edit.
Right.
Exactly.
You get to, like, play edits that you've seen, but you also get to make your own, which is super fun. So when did you get into editing yourself?
Honestly, with this
really?
Tour, I mean, I edit like all of my own videos for like social media and for like other social media brands I work for. But with like in terms of editing, I had never really dived into that. So again, I kind of was just winging it. And it just so happens that people responded to it and they liked it. So that's
they're amazing.
Part, you
know? They're so good.
Thank you.
What's your favorite edit of yours to play?
I think probably Kiwi is my favorite because it's like the longest. And I don't know. That's also just like one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
So,
the energy is so good.
Yeah. The energy is crazy. So probably Kiwi. Yeah.
I think I recorded the whole thing on my phone for that song specifically.
You did. And I've watched it many times.
That one was one of my favorite ones for sure. Mm-hmm. The crowds are incredible that show up. Like blocks, like round, like multiple times around Webster. We kept walking. We're like, oh, more people. Got it. Oh, there's more people. Mm-hmm. It came out the other day and I'm sure you saw it. I think you saw it. That Connor said it hit him finally how big the show was because of Club 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, that's got to feel insane, too.
Crazy. Like, I mean, I can't imagine just being in their position in general, like, skyrocketing to that level of fame so quickly. But then knowing that, like, something that I'm just, like, a tiny part of mm-hmm. has also had that impact on them is, like, I can't think about it. Nope, I will spiral, and it will not be good.
Everyone showing up, there's kind of like this camaraderie and it's all ages. It's honestly all ages, people from all walks of life. Like you'd think clubbing, it's going to be a younger crowd, but truly like everyone is showing up. Everyone is making friends. I guess, what do you think makes people feel safe to show up as themselves on nights like these?
Honestly, I think it's a combination between like the crowd having a shared interest. Because you go to like a normal club and like you don't know really what to expect. You don't know what music they're going to play. You don't know who's going to be there. And I think coming to an event like Club 90s, where it's like a very singular thing, everyone already has something in common. So you can turn to the person next to you, not know them, and automatically bond over something because of just the nature of Club 90s. I also just think the show in general just allows people to be themselves, just based off of like its essence, which is so beautiful. So those two things combined has just really made it like such a welcoming and warm place, I feel like.
I love that. And it felt so interactive when we were there. From the shows you've played so far, what's been your favorite crowd reaction or moment?
I think there was one. So this past weekend, I was in Montreal. And afterwards, this guy came up to me and he was like, I just want to let you know, like, as a queer hockey player myself, like, having a space like this to come and celebrate something that's like so important to us is just so amazing. So that I almost teared up over. That was really cute. And then also, again, this past weekend at Webster Hall for night two, there was an older gentleman who was a part of security. And he, like, probably as old as my dad. Like, mm-hmm. he felt like my dad, honestly. Mm-hmm. And he was in between. He was, like, in the photo pit between Barricade and the stage. And when we put on Connor's, like, a prayer, he was singing and, like, dancing the whole time. And I don't know. It's just, like, seeing those, like, seeing how the different ages, like, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Like, we all can just, like, again, bond over this thing. That one also really hit me as well.
Oh my gosh, I would be constantly crying.
I would be constantly crying.
No,
I saw a post on Threads this morning that was this mum saying she was going to a club night with her mum friends, but then her daughter was also going with her sorority friends. So it was like both so different amazing. Ages were going to the same club night for Heated Rivalry, which I think is so cool.
There will be people being like, is this outfit cool enough for Club 90s? Like maybe a younger person be like, that looks sick. Like, that looks amazing. You're going to look incredible. Let's meet up there.
You can't even describe it.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Do the edits switch up? Do you have to like make new ones for each show, or how does that process work?
Yeah. So we have a set, our set list of edits that we play throughout the night, but then it's constantly just like a group chat, or not a group chat. It's just me and Jeffrey back and forth, just like sending new ones we found back and forth. And so we're constantly making new ones. And then it's kind of like we have certain ones that we definitely want to play. And then we just have an extra amount of ones where it's like each individual DJ can kind of pick and choose their own adventure on like which edits they want to play. So like Jeffrey was in Boston, so we made like specific black and yellow Boston like Ilya edits for Boston. So it's just like picking and choosing which ones we want to play for which crowd, which is also really fun.
And is there one that you're hoping you get to make or hoping makes the cut?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, this isn't really your question, but there's one. I made one to, because I love Beyonce, I made one to My House by Beyonce, and it's not technically on the set list. So, Jeffrey, if you
please
hear
put
this,
it on the set list.
I'm so sorry. Like, I'm breaking the rules. I'm sorry. But I try to, like, sneak that one in as much as I can, because it's Beyonce. Like, I have to.
We haven't played Beyonce.
So. I need to hear that live. Please.
Yeah, I know.
What do you hope people leave feeling when the night ends?
I just hope that people leave with just like a sense of euphoria. I mean, I know that, again, the show is like done and like changed so many people's lives and just like brought so much happiness into the world, that if we can just keep adding on to that happiness and people can leave and they're like, they either made new friends or they have like a story to tell down the line, or just like they keep talking about it. That's all that I can hope for. Mm-hmm. Especially as like someone who's just like kind of curating the vibe of the night. I just hope that everyone has a great time. That's all I can really ask for.
Yeah. And I'm pretty positive they do. And
okay, I'm glad.
And so we always like to ask, because we made this podcast too, because you know, there's always questions of why does this X person love Heated Rivalry? Why does this person love Heated Rivalry? And it's like people are trying to make assumptions or, you know, maybe like blanket statement why they think, which, I mean, some of those reasons could be true, but we really like to like talk to the fans and like hear from them. So I guess since you've seen the series and now that you're watching or reading the books, like, how has Heated Rivalry like inspired you in your own life?
I mean, It's inspired me in so many ways. I just think the story alone is so gorgeous. And I, again, sports romance, not my thing, as I said.
Yep.
So like finding something that I didn't, I mean, I knew I was probably going to like it since I am just like a book girly to my core, but finding something that I went into completely blind and all of a sudden it's all I can think about and it's taken over my entire life. And I'm like planning out tattoos that I probably shouldn't get yet.
Get them.
And like, it's like, and like, I'm like, all my friends love it. I don't know. It's like that sense of community that I didn't expect to find is so gorgeous. Also, as like a performer and an entertainer, seeing Hudson and Connor and like seeing where they're coming from, it's just, you don't really hear stories like that a lot in the entertainment industry, so that's also been really inspiring. And I also just like, as a fangirl, having this like mass psychosis, like we really haven't had it since One Direction.
Yeah. So
I'm like, it's back. Anything we can do to bring fandom and fangirl culture like back into the zeitgeist of like the general public, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's so much more fun.
It's so much more
right?
fun.
Like,
and why do you think it's resonated with so many people like on that wide scale? Like,
yeah. I mean, I feel like with the story of, or with the story of Shane and Ilya, like, again, it was, we all kind of went into it marketing it as like the smut hockey story, but it's like you realize it's so much deeper than that. So I think people have clung on to, like, outside of all the like steamy scenes, people I feel like have gravitated more towards like the just like authentic love that these two characters have, which we don't really see a lot in media, especially because, like, I know that Jacob Tierney has talked about how they were going to try to make it, I think, with like an American studio, and they were like, you can't do this. So also like seeing a filmmaker and a creative just like be able to put all of their original ideas out there with like no like backlash or with no one saying like you can't do that has also been really refreshing.
So
I don't know, there's so many things that I like, I can't even think about all of them. It's just like,
It's just like, and the community aspect and I'm the fandom of it all. What do you think is your favorite thing about being in this fandom specifically that's maybe been different from other fandoms you've been a part of?
That's a good question. I don't know, actually. I mean, okay, I will say that now I'm not a gatekeeper. Guys, I'm not saying that.
Never accuse you of that.
When it comes to like, things that I'm a huge fan of, because I've been in fandom spaces for so long, as you guys probably know also, like, it's sometimes not a great place to be in because people who aren't in those spaces kind of like look down on them.
Yeah.
So I guess like just I hold the things that I love really close to my heart. And for some reason with Heated Rivalry, like, instead of like keeping it close to me, I'm like, oh, you haven't watched it? Honey, I have a show for you. Like, to random strangers, which is really, it's been, I don't know, it's really refreshing. So I think maybe that's been my favorite part, is that because the general audience is so receptive to it, I feel more like open to sharing my love of this thing to people who, like, again, like, I might not know, or I might not know if they'll necessarily like it, but I'm like, here, try it out. Trust me.
Yeah.
You're gonna love it, queen. So
no, that's beautiful. And that's so true, because I think, you know, I've introduced it to friends who are not fangirls by nature and they've been skeptical. And I'm like, please, please, you need to watch it. Trust me. And then they're like, I can't stop thinking about this.
Yeah.
We know.
I think there's also so much of fandom and fangirl culture is so steeped in like shame, or like you should be embarrassed for liking something that much, especially as women, or I said fangirl, so especially as women. And I think it's refreshing, and that's not to say that there aren't people who, you know, aren't haters and absolutely don't like the show. I think I've just curated my feed enough where I just don't really hear that, or I don't surround myself with people with that. But I think there is something to be said where you're, like you said, you've recommended it to so many people, to strangers, and you're like, try it. You're going to like it probably. Yeah. I think that's like a beautiful thing. I don't know if it's the general state of the world and people just need something to hope or like cling to that brings them joy, or people are not ashamed of liking something like this. Basically just reiterating what you said. I agree.
Yeah. It's very hopeful. And I think the part about shame is so real. Like there's nothing shameful about being a fan of something. No. In fact, it's like it's how we build community. Yeah. That's how
it's so human. Yeah.
It's so human. I mean, we were not going to talk about how people ride or die for sports and no one bats an eye. So,
right.
But it's so true. It's like, so sometimes, like, to your point, you know, as fans, it's like, I'm scared to tell you about this because I don't want you to, like, tarnish it or, you know, make me feel bad about it.
Yeah.
But it really does feel like, you know, maybe it is because of the time we're living in where it's like people are receptive, people are open, people are giving it a try. And it's just making it even better and better because there's so much love and community around it.
Yeah.
And I think the edits, too, like the edits that you're doing, the edits that you're finding, like, I think those are, I mean, we were talking to Margo, too, and we're like, there's shows that have 20 plus seasons that don't have as many edits as this show does, like from 6 episodes. Yeah. And I mean, it's beautiful. And I think it's also like the talent in this fandom is getting people to watch that way, too.
Yeah.
I have a very specific question. Sorry. Very specific. Not selfish, I don't think, but for me specifically, do you have a plan? Because again, going back to how you guys play, you guys play edits that people make, but also you make your own edits. And coming out of the first Heat of Every Night, I had messaged Emily, and I forget what edit was, but I was like, I've been trying to find this edit online and I cannot find it. I know it's because you guys had made it.
Yeah.
Is there a plan in the future to release these edits, maybe when, obviously I understand for, I don't know what the kinder word for gatekeeping is because we don't remember that. But obviously that is your craft and it belongs to you and your work. And so you want to keep it and show it at these events. But is there a plan to release them to the general public? Maybe.
We can't really release them now.
Well, yeah. Is that even allowed? Obviously, you can't.
Yeah, but I don't know, honestly. Like, because, I don't even know really where this tour is going to go. I don't know if when season 2 comes out, if we'll do another one.
I hope so.
It's really all up in the air right now. And I'm just kind of just riding along.
She said, I'm just here.
You know, just doing what I need to. So we'll see, I guess.
Okay.
But as of right now, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
TBD.
We'll put a pin on that. We'll put a pin on that. Sorry. We're going so off topic. Yesterday I opened up my phone and the first thing after work, I sat on my bed right over there and opened up my phone and I saw an edit to Favorite Crime by Olivia Rodrigo. And I, one, forgot that song existed, even though I love that album. I just got chills thinking about it. And two, I sat there and the impact that had on me for those 30 seconds, immediately had to text my friend and was like, hey, so this just happened to me. And she said, don't send it to me. Immediately don't say
that. And that's boundaries. That's great.
And that's boundaries.
Yeah. Kaya, do you have a favorite edit that you haven't made, but and maybe you don't even play it at a Heated Rivalry night, but just one where you're like, I love this edit.
Oh, wow. And now I'm blanking on every single edit I've ever seen.
There's so many. 900 are gone.
Yeah, right? I mean, the most recent one that I remember reposting, because like edits that I really love, I'll repost on my Instagram story because I'm like, y'all, you need to see this.
Yeah.
I just reposted one to The Melting from Wicked Part 2 at like the very end. Yeah. And it was like the most heart-wrenching, like,
why would they do that?
That's what I asked every single time. Like, actually, why would you do that? But it switched. So it was like all these really sad clips of Ilya. And then the music cut out and it was him at the dining table being like, I'm your boyfriend. Like that whole conversation. Yeah, I was like, cut the cameras, guys.
Wow. No, these editors are coming for our necks.
I can't.
They want us to suffer.
To like songs that you would never think
to
like use.
Have you seen, I'm sure you have, this edit is my entire personality. Have you seen the Rock Me edit?
Yeah. Of course.
She said, do you see the album on the back of the wall?
She said, I'm sure you have. Yeah.
Do not recite the ancient texts to me. I was there when they were written.
No. Life changing. Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
That's how I feel.
It's crazy.
I have a question back to Club 90s really fast. Do you have a favorite crowd that you've played for? Heat of Ivory specifically.
And is it Webster Hall
No bias. No, I'm genuinely asking.
Yeah. I've only done two. So I've done two New York shows and then the Montreal show. Mm-hmm. And I think I've liked them for different reasons, because New York just, I live here. It's just going to have that energy every single time. Mm-hmm. And Webster Hall is a crazy venue. So just any single time I get to do something there, it's amazing. But then Montreal was so cool because it was an international show. Everyone there pretty much is bilingual. So there's that kind of energy that's adding to it. And it also at the venue, there wasn't a barricade, so people could touch the stage, which I never experienced anything like that before. But I think it made it
intimate.
Us feel closer, and more intimate. So it kind of felt less a club night like we normally would do, and more just a party with 800 of my closest friends or something like that. So those both cities so far have been great. I'm excited to see as I branch out.
Yeah. Is there a city you're excited to play in? And maybe, I don't know if you know ahead of time, but is there a city you're excited to go to?
Yeah. We find out about 2 weeks in advance. So I know my next two cities I'm playing, I think, are Portland, Maine and Nashville.
Oh, cool.
Super, super excited for both of them. But Nashville, very excited.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be really fun.
I also really selfishly want to do Orlando because that's where I'm from.
Oh, awesome.
But we do have other Florida DJs, so that probably won't happen. But if I could ever do an Orlando show.
Dream. Well,
There are going to be some country-themed edits for Nashville.
Please. No, literally, I'm what can I pull out?
Hoedown, throwdown.
Hoedown, throwdown.
I don't know why that was the first thing I thought of.
Literally.
Yeah, some Hannah Montana reference.
The country song she knows,
Which valid.
Yeah, or right. Cowboy Carter.
I mean, it's a
good
song.
And then Hoedown, throwdown. Yeah.
Cowboy Carter would eat. Oh, my God. Yeah.
She said, wait a second.
I will be giving really generic recommendations. I will be watching.
Someone will be doing
a live stream, I'm sure. No, it's so fun, too, because you, genuinely, I'm sure seeing all the phones come out. It's so funny. It's we're all at a concert. It's the most amazing thing ever.
And, the way that it just, can go from 0 to 100 when certain edits start playing or certain songs start playing, it's crazy.
And the pacing is so great, the way you have it set up, because, we were there might be a moment, we can go get water, or, we can, take a break. We
did not leave the dance floor.
We did not
leave the dance floor
for a second, because we were we're not missing this song. We're not missing this song.
My worst
Hell year. No, we're not missing this song. So we would just stay put. Yeah. Which is amazing and shows so much because it's it was Era's tour length. The set was Era's tour length.
4 hour set.
Insane.
Yeah. Speaking of thinking back to our heated rivalry, Club 90s night, how do you guys do, because there's a lot of fan interaction. You guys bring people out on stage and stuff like that. How do you guys, do you pre-plan that? How do you select people?
Yeah.
How does that go?
So we have pre-planned moments throughout the night. So after certain songs, where we want to bring people up for different things, but then also it's kind of just seeing how the crowd is. In Montreal, there was a bachelorette party, in New York.
Yeah.
There was a bachelorette party this past weekend. So I randomly pulled them up for something. Also with night one, I don't know if you guys remember, but that duo came out and they danced together for
Incredible.
Man-eater. So epic. But that wasn't planned at all. That was just because he held up a sign saying I'm a dancer. Can you bring me up? And we said, of course.
Of course
we can.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have those pre-selected. We'll always bring up stallies. We'll always bring up people who want to break it down, right? And but then it's also just like, who's there and who's giving us the energy that we want to bring up on stage as well.
So fun.
Yeah.
I guess if you had like a message, because I know some people are like, I really want to go, I don't have any friends to go with or something like that. If you had one message to people who are maybe like nervous to attend but really want to, why they should take the plunge and go.
Yeah. I would say I feel like something like Heated Rivalry just itself doesn't come around that often. So you really like don't want to have any regrets. If you want to come, please come, because people are making like Discord groups and other group chats, and they're meeting up beforehand to get drinks, and like you can meet people online. Like it's, there's so much community with it that if you just say that you're going by yourself, there's going to be at least 10 people who say, come with us. Or like come hang. And so like if you're nervous to come by yourself, like there really isn't a reason to be, because it's probably the most welcoming crowd for something of this caliber that you'll ever find, in my opinion.
I love it. And I mean, for someone who's been there for one night, I completely agree.
Agreed.
Amazing. Well, thank you. Do you want to, should we do a this or that? It's really, it's, there's no gotcha questions. We promise.
Yeah. No tricks here. Just something fun.
I love.
Okay. We're going to jump into it then. Ginger ale or Blue Moon over Brooklyn smoothie?
Ginger ale.
Ilia's tuna melt or Shane's burgers?
Ilia's tuna melt.
Shane's loon call or Ilia's gym? Woo.
Ooh, the loon call.
Hang out with Hayden or Yuna?
Yuna. That's my girl.
That's our girl. Ilya's okay or Shane's high-pitched, really?
The okay.
It's such a Boston good vocal
stem. Boston or Montreal. Yeah, it is. It's a great vocal stem.
Right? Ooh, Montreal. Even though I do know what happens.
Yeah.
I know.
But no, it's okay. We've asked that before, and everyone's like, I just want to clarify. I mean the city. I don't mean.
Yeah. You know what happens?
Stairwell kiss or your boyfriend's here kiss?
Your boyfriend's here.
So sweet.
Yeah.
Team Europe or Team North America?
Europe.
Penthouse 1 or room 1410?
1410, I think.
The Kingfisher bar or Straw plus Berry?
Kingfisher.
Party with Svetlana or get dinner with Elena?
Guys, love Svetlana, probably dinner with Elena.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
That would be so fun. Again, really? It would be amazing to do dinner and then party with Svetlana after.
Exactly.
In a perfect world.
My dream. My dream.
Svetlana at Club 90s night.
Yeah. Perfect.
She would be there.
All the things she said or I'll believe in anything?
I'll believe in anything.
Canada fleece or banana socks?
Canada fleece.
Okay. And last one is sunset scene or sunrise scene?
Sunrise.
That's a good one.
We're biased.
It's so good.
Because that's our logo.
We're extremely biased. Yeah.
Well, thank you. We had to. But thank you so much. Honestly, that was truly one of the best nights of our life, to the point where we're going again.
Won't shut up about it. We'll be going.
Danielle's sick of us.
They just rub it in my face. It's fine.
Yeah. Hopefully, one is going to come to the Midlands, Danielle.
One will not come to the Midlands.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But, like, thank you for all you do. Thank you for your creativity. Yeah, we just really appreciate you. And thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks, guys. This was amazing.
No, thank you. You can follow Kaya at Kaya Renee on Instagram. And please, if you have the opportunity to go to Club 90s, you need to go. Don't worry if you're going alone, anything like that. You're going to have the best time. So just go.
Yeah, I know they're all over the US. They're touring the US right now. But there's also two upcoming dates in London, which I might try and go to one. So there's one on Valentine's Day and there's one on the 28th of February. So yeah, go to their website if you want to go, because it sounds like it's really fun.
You should go. Thanks so much for listening and hanging out with us. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you're following along.
on Threads and on Instagram. You can find us at Believe in Anything Pod. Subscribe. You can leave us a little review. And if you just want to come and say hi, you know where to find us. So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.